What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
The other host, as it were. That's me.
We don't even need to go into this anymore.
I think we do, Ben, because
why did Cinderella get kicked off the football team?
Don't try and distract me with a corny joke, but why did Cinderella get kicked off the football team?
Because she kept running from the ball.
I totally thought it was going to be a glass slipper joke.
No, I know. I thought
wasn't.
So too.
I think
but instead,
maybe our levels are a wee bit high. I'm going to adjust that. A little bit. That looks better.
Hey, we're not as hot anymore.
Wow. Sorry if the first few things we said were just like real, real loud in your ear.
Just like nails on an actual chalkboard.
Wow.
You want to know what's weird about nails on a chalkboard is that yesterday we were driving around and Allie accidentally brushed her finger across the side mirror there, the one, the piece of glass next to where she sits.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Like the rear view mirror?
No, not the rear view mirror, but like literally like the window you would roll down in the passenger seat.
So she's sticking your hand out the window.
No, the window was up, but she like brushed her hand against it like while she was like reaching for like her seatbelt.
So just the passenger window.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
That's
Did you
one.
Say mirror?
I may have said mirror.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, so it made like a squeaking noise, and yeah. I thought that it was almost like the friction of your fingers, like if you drag them across like a glass table, you know how it can like make like a
yeah.
like a squeaky noise. Well, she told me that what actually it was her fingernail, and I was not bothered by the noise until she told me that it was her fingernail. And I was like, maybe nails on a chalkboard has nothing to do with the sound, but like the sense or feeling that you get in your hands.
Oh, it's like you can feel it on your fingertips.
Right. Like it's like,
not the sound, it's the imagination that your fingertips, much like the ones on the chalkboard, are like scraping away.
Scraping away, or like in some way being like ripped off or something.
Yeah. Oh, don't
okay.
even say that.
I know. It's so weird though, because like I think the reason why people are afraid of the dark, and I don't know if this is true, but I'm going with it, is the idea that at one point in time for humans, nighttime was a very dangerous time to be like alive, basically, because there could have been an immense amount of like either, you know, crime, burglary, attacks from animals.
Sneak thieves,
indeed.
Yeah. Corn pirates.
That's a real one. That's a real big problem. And so I think that part of the reason why we are afraid of the dark is because like our forefathers were also afraid of the dark, because it usually meant that danger was the foot. So I wonder if with nails on a chalkboard, if there is some like built-in long-term reason why we would all have such a negative effect in reaction to this particular idea.
Hmm. Well, if you heard the sound but couldn't see the person doing it, would it be as terrible? Interesting.
Because in my argument being that when I just heard Allie scrape her nail across the window and I thought it was just her fingers dragging, I was like, whatever. But then once I knew what it was, it gave me shivers right down my spine.
Interesting. I think fear of the dark is often just fear of the unknown.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah. But I guess the unknown thing could be that someone might rob you.
Lurking.
Although, I remember learning this in psychology class in high school, is that fear of the dark is not a natural born fear.
Really?
Yeah.
We're not afraid of the dark naturally.
Not naturally. Yeah. It's like
what makes us
thing.
Afraid of the dark?
I don't know. Corn pirates, I think.
Mostly, yeah. It's always corn
like,
pirates.
Yeah, it always goes back to corn pirates. You're just like laying in bed. You're like stealing corn in middle America.
Okay. It could be a real problem.
That's right.
Yeah.
Man, what are we going to eat? Those farmers. Exactly.
Go ahead.
Oh, so the natural born fears are heights
okay.
and loud noises.
Strange.
Well, not really. Now, I mean, if you think about it, you almost cannot help but react afraid to an extremely loud noise. Even like if you have no idea where it's coming from. And I think that these are both, I want to say, built in to protect you. Like this is when you should run sort of thing.
Right. Like they're indicators, like probably under most circumstances, that something bad is about to happen, which it actually is very interesting, because I remember I would not say in any shape or form or whatever that I'm typically afraid of loud noises in a sense that I'm conscious of it. Like I'm not like I would never go in I would never be actively avoiding loud noises because I was fearful of them. But I do remember when I first started doing stuff in the aquarium trade, I was frequently working around like heavy machinery.
Yeah.
And a lot of that meant like whether it was like jackhammers or like a hammer drill, like which is what like drills into like concrete, is really, really loud.
Yeah.
And I remember like the first several days that I was like being exposed to it, like I was really, really on edge because of the loud noises of all the machines. And in a way that like I couldn't have walked in and told you that I was worried about it, but like while it was happening, I was genuinely like it was making me like trembly.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was super strange.
Man, I will say that even if you're not, it's not something you're aware of, but we when I worked at the venue I used to work at, one of the shows we'd have come through is Monster Jam.
Okay.
Which, if you don't know, is just monster trucks. Super fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We'll sell you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
Oh!
What?
Wow.
That was actually, like always in the commercials.
I kind of want a ticket now.
Right, you're like, yeah!
That's amazing.
Anyway, though, monster trucks, especially in the venue we're at, or that I worked in, which was only about a 8,000-seat coliseum, and which is small, which does not make for great monster truck shows because they can't move around a whole lot.
Right,
because they're big. They're huge. As
like our umbrellas.
Like our umbrellas. Our umbrellas could maybe cover a monster truck could comfortably fit under one of our umbrellas.
Surely. You know, oh, yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we're huge. But they, as a result, in that small, confined area, the loudness of a monster truck in that area is like worth running from. Like,
really?
If you were there without ear protection and you were just standing there watching, I almost guarantee you that you would like be almost forced out of the area by the sound alone.
So you're saying that it is so loud that regardless of your grit, you would leave as a byproduct of being exposed to it.
Well, I mean, it's loud enough that it could like damage you.
Sure. Like I remember when I've gone to it before, I like wore like tire shaped earmuffs.
Yes. Yeah. As well, you should.
Which were really great, actually. Yeah. Those were really handy.
Yes, those are fun. So I always remember that though, like thinking, oh yeah, like these help, but they're not like 100% necessary. And I walked in one day and I was like, oh no, yeah, these you must wear ear protection at a monster truck show. At least where I used to work, where there was no where for the sound to escape.
Right. Well, that's interesting. That is interesting. So does that mean that those particular monster truck shows, you weren't getting the full show because there wasn't enough room in the arena to like do it properly?
Absolutely. That's what it means.
Really?
Dude, you have no idea. So, if you go to like a regular, and there's like tracks where they could race. There could be two going at once. They could have jumps where they could be, you know, 40, 50 feet in the air. These things they have way more potential than what we ever got to see as kids.
I have always felt that it was a little bit underwhelming.
Oh, yeah. We should go to a real monster truck show.
A real one?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me, who has good monster trucks?
We got the good brands.
So we have Gravedigger.
Gravedigger is, of course, the most popular monster truck.
Why do you think that was? Why do you think Gravedigger was the one that like people know?
It is hard to say. It has won a lot of competitions, I guess.
Okay.
And it is it's a family truck. It was originally driven by a guy named Dennis Anderson, and I think it's still driven by some generation of Anderson today.
Man.
So it's been around. It might just have been around the longest. I don't know.
You have a strange amount of knowledge about monster trucks.
I do have a strange amount of knowledge about monster trucks. Monster Jam is totally where you want to be monster truck wise. Like if you want to be like, there's like other lesser monster truck shows, but the big one. So Monster Jam. Oh, this is part of the reason because the other one, I think it's called Bigfoot. There's a different monster truck that's also super famous that Monster Jam doesn't have.
Okay.
I don't think it is Bigfoot. There's a different one anyway, and I have a feeling the popularity of that monster truck under this other brand probably prompted Monster Jam to like seriously market one truck to be their superstar as well. I think it is Bigfoot. Maybe not.
I'm looking at best monster trucks, and at the very least, most of everything that came up right away, there is a Monster Jam Gravedigger Power Wheels. Do you remember like Power Wheels or like
absolutely
small cars?
I remember the Power Wheels.
Okay. They have one of those on there. And yeah, it seems like pretty much right out of the gate, I'm seeing El Toro Loco comes up.
Monster Jam.
Okay, of course, yep.
Yeah. I'm going to see if I can't find Bigfoot real quick. I think that's what it's called, but that also sounds wrong.
I see Monster Mutt.
Nope. That one has ears.
It does have ears. Yeah. You know so much more about monster trucks than I ever would have thought.
Maybe I should have a monster truck channel, man.
Okay. Maybe interesting thing, because we've talked about this a lot with you, how you have this like uncanny ability to retain strange and obscure trivia based knowledge.
Yeah.
From like the things that you were interested in. It's like regardless of how long it has been since you last spent time with a given entity, story, whatever, group of characters, it's almost as if like if I just watched a full season, I could come in and have a full conversation with you about it as if you just watched it.
Right.
Okay. So in this way, I think I am slowly starting to realize that I am the exact polar opposite when it comes to any of my knowledge.
Really?
Yes. Like, I think literally as far from the way that you retain knowledge as humanly possible. I think that I am...
Also, how do you retain knowledge?
In a way that I think is purely, like, you either use it or lose it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if I haven't done something for a while, then that information, I could probably learn it back a lot faster than I did the first time. In fact, I would say I certainly could.
Yeah.
But I keep thinking that I have, like, a very minimal, I don't even know what the right word is. I always refer to it as like a cache. And I think that this is like a C-A-C-H-E.
Yeah.
Cache. So this happens to me frequently if I'm doing like problem solving or puzzles in my head where like I can get to step three and solve step three, but then realize I completely forgot what step one was.
Oh, interesting.
Like in the span of like small periods of time. But also like... I think I could get super into something, learn all there is to know about it, and then about 3 months later, just about all that information would be pretty much gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have, like, a whole lot of that, like, taking up, like, brain space. Like, I almost think I'm, like, very stingy with what, like, gets to stay up there because I'm afraid that I will, like, fill my brain with information. And then it's like, well, if I now I know too many obscure things that don't matter, and I don't have enough room for things that do matter.
That totally, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you could fill it up like that. Although, I do know what you mean, because sometimes I'm afraid to, like, dive into Lord of the Rings or something. I'm afraid, like, there's so much, and if I start learning everything about Lord of the Rings, I'm gonna like not be able to retain as much about Harry Potter or something.
Oh, or like start crossing lines. That's another one that I worried about.
But okay. So to that end, though, I would say you do seem to have a weirdly high working knowledge of Diablo 2 stuff, though. That never seems to leave your brain. It seems weirdly obscure knowledge that you can call on at any time, no matter what.
Maybe some of it. Like, I think that, I actually think this is a little bit of a con that people do over things that they know information about,
mm-hmm.
where, if you're talking to someone about something and they know nothing about it, your ability to spout information, even if it is the like most basic of information, sounds very advanced.
Mine?
No. Like you, the royal you. Okay. So like anyone who is speaking on something that they know about, like I remember I used to do this all the time with actually aquarium stuff where I would like try to sound like I knew a whole lot more than I actually did. And it was because when I was in high school, Dad and I had tracked down this like one particular guy who was breeding a type of shell-dwelling Tanganyikan cichlid,
mm-hmm.
Called a multifasciatus.
Okay.
And there were like these small little like silver fish with like kind of like minimal striping on them, but they would like literally live in old snail shells. That was like their habitat.
Okay.
And I think that they were generally interesting fish if you were to be like snorkeling in the African lake that is Lake Tanganyika that they come from. But otherwise, they maybe are not the coolest aquarium fish in the world.
Right.
But whenever people would ask me like, what's your favorite fish though? I would always be like, oh, it's the Tanganyikan multifasciatus. Because like, what sounds more complicated and advanced than that pairing of two?
The Tanganyikan multifasciatus.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, I got mine from a breeding FO pair, you know, FO meaning like directly from the lake, not like bred from fish that were bred from the lake. So I had, you know, I had F1s because they were like the whatever.
Of course.
So all of these things, it's like, it makes it sound like I know extensive amounts. And maybe this is a bad example because when it comes to aquariums,
you
and
do
fish,
know a lot about aquariums.
I probably do know a lot about it. But I witnessed this. One of the guys that used to work with me's girlfriend came with us to a conference. And I remember that like she was not really into it. She mostly came to the aquarium conference with us. Under the guise of it was a trip to DC.
Right.
So she got to go and spend the weekend up at DC.
Right.
But she did one day, you know, walking around the stops with us to all the booths and stuff. And I remember walking up behind her and listening to her talk to the vendors and just dropping words like calcium reactor and protein skimmer and stuff like that, like words that are pieces of the aquarium puzzle that sound kind of complicated, but right. Like if you're in the speak, they're like the most basic things that you have as part right. of your equation. And I'm like, I know you, and I know that you don't know much about this, and I know the tactic that you are using is saying words that you think sound complicated to someone who doesn't know what your knowledge is behind the curtain. Mm-hmm. Does this make sense? Are you following?
No, okay. I'm following.
And so it's kind of like if there is a mental curtain and you've got like your entire working knowledge as like your tricks, it's almost like she had like three different acts that she could like bring out to the stage.
Right.
And because she delivered those three acts, most people think that behind the curtain are even more acts.
Right.
But instead she played all of them.
She's just the Wizard of Oz.
Is that what the Wizard of Oz is?
Well, he's just he looks big and impressive and he has all these tricks, but he's just a guy behind the curtain.
Man.
Right?
Every once in a while, I'm going to pat myself on the back here.
Yeah.
I think that I stumble onto themes that already exist, and there's no way for me to prove to anybody that I'm not just telling someone else's super advanced thought, but it's like, man, if I had lived many, many generations ago,
right?
Of course, I wouldn't have all the prompting that I do have in my modern world to get to these thoughts. But I'm like, I do spend a lot of time thinking about things that I then discover are also things.
Right. You invented something only to find out this has been an idea in the world since 1700.
Exactly.
But you got there independently.
But I got there independently.
Right.
So people who are regarded as genius, I also come to those conclusions.
Wow. Yes. Pat yourself right there on the back.
Right there on the back. No. It is mildly frustrating when I feel like this happens because you're like, man, did I just have an original thought? And it's like, no. There are books on this, classes on this.
Right.
Probably the only reason you even got there is because it was told to you in some episode of Mythbusters once upon a time and you closeted that information away.
And now it's popping up. You're like, oh yeah, a thing.
I am smart.
That does happen. That does happen.
But with you, on the other hand, though, I don't feel like you do this. Like, I feel like behind the curtain, unless, do you do this? Like, do you ever pull, like, a nugget of information and you're like, they're not going to think that I remember this, but I remember this one thing. And if they know that I remember, okay, do you remember in Power Rangers?
Yeah.
Okay. The villain used to, like, make the villains out of, like, that the Rangers fought out
clay.
Of, like, clay.
Yeah.
Right. Do you know what those characters' names were?
What, Putties?
Putties?
Yeah.
Okay. The Putties.
Yeah.
I remember the Putties.
Right.
What was the woman's name who was in, like, the space castle?
Rita Repulsa.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. He had no prompting for this. Do you remember what her assistant, I think his head was shaped like a...
She had several assistants.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but...
Who am I thinking of whose head was, like, a robot? And it was like a donut or something like that. Do you know
like
what I'm talking about?
Donut?
Like a donut, and it had like air duct arms. Maybe I'm not even thinking about the right franchise at all.
Air duct arms. I mean, she had like Goldar. That was like her general.
Hang on.
The big wings.
Oh, Goldar?
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm gonna look up Goldar real quick. Goldar. Oh, no, that's not who I'm thinking of.
No.
Although we used to have that action figure, but again, I could not have told you that name.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah.
Like, not in a million years.
She had a Finster, who was the person who, like, made the putties and stuff.
Okay.
Out of clay.
Finster. How do you spell Finster?
Finster. And there was this duo of just morons, like Babu and something else. I don't remember the other one.
Finster.
Yeah.
Now that I see it, I remember it. He kind of looks like Dumbledore.
A little bit. He's got the like elf head kind
of. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Finster, aka Dumbledore.
Ah, yes.
Okay, so was there a robot that was... Who's the tube who lives inside of the wall? That
Zordon.
Zordon. Okay,
yeah.
Did Zordon have an assistant?
Oh, yeah, Alpha 5.
See, you guys, he had no prompting to this. Is it Alpha, like, 5 as in, like, spelled out, or the number 5?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure I think it's just the number 5. It is the number 5, because we used to have these little, like, kids workbook things, and they would have word searches in them, and they'd be, like, all Power Rangers themed. But it'd be so easy to find Alpha 5, because there'd be, like, 3 5s in the word search. You'd be like, whoop.
Alpha 5.
There you go.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
There you go. What else you got, Ben? What other obscure Power Rangers knowledge do you want to know?
I don't know. How long has it been since you've watched the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers? Probably like 2010.
Okay, okay. So slightly more recently than me.
I guess. I don't think I watched the whole thing through.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, but there's like... a lot of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. There's like 120 episodes or something.
That's so many.
Yeah.
And you've seen them all?
Well, maybe not all of them.
How many Green Rangers are there?
Just one.
Just one. How many White Rangers are there?
Also just one.
How many different guys does Jason play?
Jason plays the Red Ranger and the Gold Ranger.
The Gold Ranger?
Yeah.
Man, okay. We're probably so obscure right now that people are like, guys, what even?
But Tommy...
Oh, Tommy, okay. The Green Ranger.
Tommy the Green Ranger, White Ranger.
Yes, okay.
Also plays the Red Zeo Ranger, the Red Turbo Ranger, and the Black Dino Thunder Ranger.
That's way too many different Rangers.
You could have an entire Ranger team of just Tommy Oliver. Dr. O in Dino Thunder.
Is he always the villain? Is he ever the villain?
Oh, he's only the villain as the Green Ranger.
Whoa.
And only for, like, you know, 5 episodes.
Okay, I think when we were kids, we had a VHS set up. And at some point in time, I learned how to record TV on the VHS tapes.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. And I think one of the probably 7 episodes I ever did this on was the episode of the Power Rangers where the Green Ranger is the villain.
Wow.
I know. Yeah, I feel like I remember him standing on a hill.
They did that a lot.
Though they put the Green Ranger on a hill?
Well, so what happened, the way they film Power Rangers is that all of the times you see the American actors, like with their not in the suits, that's stuff they filmed in America. And anytime they're in the suits, like in a rock quarry all of a sudden, they're fighting in front of a warehouse, that's all footage from Japan that they're just putting in and dubbing over.
No, it is not.
Yes, it is. Which is really disappointing, but also why, like, there's only... So, like, the Dragon Zord, this is... If you remember... Maybe you don't remember. The Dragon Zord was the Green Ranger's big dragon robot Zord.
Yes.
Right?
Okay, sure.
So... The Dragon Zord in Japan was like a 1-episode villain or something. So they had like 4 shots of him like knocking over a dumpster, like biting through this like red and white candy cane thing. They only had like 5 shots of him, but because he's only in 1 episode in Japan. But Tommy's the Green Ranger and that's his Zord in America. So every time he calls him, they use the same 5 shots, no matter who he's fighting.
You're kidding.
It's so lame, and it's so obvious as an adult. Even as a kid, I was like, he's always biting through that candy cane thing. And yeah, so that's kind of a bummer. But
okay, I have to know, though. I've never been able to figure this out, and I've known you for 30 years.
Yeah.
How do you do this? Like, are you... For me, I know that, like... particularly like when I was like buying a house for whatever reason, like any type of like major exchange, things like that. Like that's the type of information that like my brain will absorb. So like when I was buying a house, I probably could have become a realtor like right then and there because I was researching everything there was to know about the home transactional process. And like that's like what my brain would like gobble up. But like, are you so much more interested in these things than I am that's what's happening with you?
I think so. Like, if you can imagine how much you're into Diablo 2, like, that's as interested as I am in all these other things.
Really?
Right.
That's so many different things to be interested in, though.
Yeah. Well, this is maybe some, like, maybe you can use this as some confidence that your brain won't totally fill up.
So you
get into anything else.
I can use you as my working example.
That's right.
As proof that my poor brain could store more information.
Yeah, I guess so.
Man.
There you go. All the things you can know about.
All the things you can know. Yeah, I think that maybe I fall into like a specialist role. So like, I got really big into rock climbing, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago now, something like that.
Yeah.
And I probably did it for a good 2.5 years, 4 days a week. Like everyone at the climbing gym knew who I was.
Right.
Like I was there a lot. And throughout that entire time, I never got belay certified.
Weird.
Weird, right? So
right.
like I was like this person, and like I remember one day Alice wanted to get belay certified with me, and so I went and took like the little practice course, and they were like, "You're not certified?"
Yeah.
Like, I totally could have just been doing it probably for months and nobody ever would have like said anything to me.
Right.
Because they knew me.
You should get certified if you're like at a gym.
You should get certified for sure.
Don't
definitely
just go do it.
don't risk someone falling. Someone else's situation. And I didn't do it. Like, it wasn't like I was out there like belaying people. Like
right.
I didn't know how to tie the knots and stuff. They weren't shocked because they were like, "Oh, we've seen you do this so many times." They were shocked because they've seen me so many times and I never learned how to do it.
Right.
And it was because the whole time that I was rock climbing, I was always super into bouldering.
Yeah.
Which means that you are never attached to any ropes at all. And I have, I don't know. I don't know what it was about it, but I spent so much time around this particular activity, but never branched my knowledge out of like the one area that I was particularly invested in.
Right. Not interested in rock climbing as a whole.
Right.
Or even getting on real rocks mostly.
Not even really getting on real rocks. Yeah.
Mostly that's... just interested in bouldering on this section of the gym in Roanoke.
In Roanoke. Now, to be fair, they do change the routes about every like 2 months or so. So
yes, they
there was a constant, it wasn't like I just got really good at all the routes that were there.
Yeah.
But I will say that I was like, okay, I will get into outdoor rock climbing. And so I did go on like one long weekend trip where I was going to be climbing rocks outside with one of my friends from Alabama. And while I was there, his friend was belaying me while I was on like my first ever rock wall.
Right.
And when you're climbing a rock wall, there's the really hard part of the problem, and that's called the crux.
Yeah.
And so I was going to like make this like big monster move, like 60 feet in the air.
Yeah.
And so I sort of like shoot up, you know, hands sweaty, grab the rock. My fingers just like come loose. And the guy was talking to somebody on the ground, had not pulled the slack out of my line. And I just dropped like 15 feet.
Oh, that's horrifying.
Yeah. And so like the, like,
did you die that time?
Man.
Is that a time you died?
I will tell you that in the like split second that I was falling, I think it went through my head. I was like,
right,
I'm gonna die.
That's it.
Like there's no way that I can survive a fall from this height, especially falling onto rocks.
Yeah.
And so I will say that the speed at which my brain like grappled with that situation, even though, I mean, you probably blink and could have missed me dropping, but unexpectedly falling is terrifying.
Absolutely.
Going back to our natural born fears here, you said it was fear of heights. It is actually the two natural born fears are the fear of falling and the fear of loud sounds.
Oh, so it's not. So heights is sort of a...
Heights is like, it goes hand in hand.
It goes hand in hand with falling, because that's what you're afraid of when you're high up.
Right, right, yeah.
I'm not afraid of being high up. I'm afraid of not continuing to be high up.
Yes, yeah, right. Yeah, I don't want my position to change.
Right.
From a latitudinal standpoint.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah, so anyway, that was my like... I'm very bad about this as well. I'll dip my toe into the water of something, and this was me climbing outside, and I had a bad experience, and it was like, I'm good.
Man, I think there is a version of me from college that got super duper into rock climbing, but when I went to... when I first went to school as a freshman, there was this, like, outdoors program that you could go sign up for, and that was, you know, every little college orientation thing ever would be like, get involved, be a part of something, blah, you know, all those super cheesy things like that. And I was like, all right, I like... And, like, our group in high school, like, our group of friends was, like, really outdoorsy, and we did lots of camping and stuff like that, so there was this outdoors club, and there was a rock climbing thing, and I was like, oh yeah, this sounds great. I'll just go. I'll just meet people. Those people will be my friends. This is what I'll be involved in. This will be my thing. And I went on the trip, and I remember, and it was actually, that's otherwise how it might have gone, was that it was really fun. I climbed a bunch of rocks outside and stuff, and I would say amongst the people there, other than the people who were like guiding, who were like the upperclassmen who'd been on, you know, 100 rock climbing trips or whatever.
Sure.
I was probably top cheese of this selection of people.
So they were like, well, this guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah, but I was also kind of like, man, I am so awesome at this. Like, I was...
Did you?
I totally was like, I am awesome. It was one of those like instant karma moments where it's just like, oh yeah, you feeling good about yourself? Guess what? And so we were... Oh, I'm so mad. I get so mad when I think about it, because the trip was over. We were like walking back to the cars, and they were just like, hey, if anyone sees any other like boulders or anything you want to climb, like while we're walking back to the cars, just speak up and we'll go check it out or whatever. So I'm like, yeah, awesome. So I see this one and I'm like, let's climb that. And they go over, and the first guy goes up, and I kind of follow him up, and it goes fine. I get to the top, but then on the down climb, I am like in this horrible position where I'm probably like 10 feet above the ground or so.
Right.
And there's this little circle of a rock I've got both my hands on, and I need to lower myself about in, you know, maybe 3 more inches before I can like put my feet back on the next little ledge beneath me, and I can just feel my fingers slipping, and I'm like, I know I cannot lower myself down, and I know I can't hold on for about more than 2 more seconds, and I don't know how I'm going to solve this problem. And it's like, I'm thinking this at like, you know, hyper speed.
Right,
like,
right.
What are we gonna do? Like, I barely have any time to figure out what I'm gonna do, and then all of a sudden, and then naturally, sure enough, all these things are true. My fingers just slip. I miss the ledge, and I just hit the ground.
Ooh.
Yeah. totally landed on my, like, my left foot. I could, like, barely walk then after that. So then you just look like this idiot who was like, oh, maybe he wasn't so good or whatever. I felt so embarrassed that whole trip. And I could, like, barely walk around campus the next week. I didn't go to, like, any sort of hospital or medic or anything. I was just like, I'm okay.
My punishment is dealing with this.
Exactly. I was just like, which I probably was not. Like, it was really hurt. But anyway, I healed from it, and eventually there was a second climbing trip that I signed up for. I was like, okay, this is going to go better. But I get to the second day, and I am maybe, there's some big wall, and we're on ropes this time, or we were on ropes last time anyway. Well, that was bouldering.
Okay.
I'm on a rope. I get the rock wall isn't really that hard to climb, except for the very first move off the ground, which is tricky. So I am maybe like, if the rope is holding me up, I'm about 2 inches off the ground, you know? So like if I were to fall off the wall, I would stop about 2 inches above the ground.
Okay.
Right. So I'm not like, which is bad, because what happened was I go for this first move, don't make it, fell. And then instead of hitting the ground, which probably would have been better because it wasn't high up, I just swung straight back. And there was another rock, which my same foot that had hurt myself on the first trip slammed into, like, the back of my heel. And I swear I broke something in there.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I was just, like, getting destroyed on these climbing trips. And I could not rest my heel on something for years afterwards.
Years!
I kid you not. Years. It was like, man, I was... So I didn't go on any more rock climbing trips, so those weren't my friends.
And those weren't my friends. Those that were not was my it.
Friends. Oh, I was like, no. I'm done. I have just hurt myself.
Oh, my gosh.
0 for 2.
We've always talked about this, though. I feel like it's like the Carlin curse, is that, like, there is something about us, I feel, that where we cannot be overconfident about anything.
Yeah.
Because at any moment, if our confidence, like, bubbles above, like, a certain threshold, your fly is instantly down.
Right.
You know, and it's like you could, like, walk into class, but, man, I look good today. I got cool new shoes on. Everything is great. And then, lo and behold, Chris Boylan's going to walk right up to you and be like, hey, Ben, your fly's down. And you're like, everything's ruined. Everyone saw it.
This is the worst.
There's no way to recover from it. And it's like, realistically, nobody's really judging you that much. But, like, your mind just made it this, like massive, right. massive problem.
It's like the moment you're like, I think I look good, you trip.
And you're trip,
like,
yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, never mind.
Never mind. That actually did happen to me. I remember all through high school, there was this phenomenon of, like, going to a different school's prom.
Oh.
And, you know, like, it seemed like especially a lot of, like, the air quotes popular girls would be asked by their friends from different schools. And, like, that was, like, a thing. So it was, like,
right.
you had, like, our prom weekend, but then they would also post pictures to, like, MySpace from, like, you know, Hidden Valley's prom.
Whoa.
And it's like, hey now, two yeah. proms.
Whoa.
That's crazy. And I remember that I had a whole bunch of friends from a different high school, and one of their girlfriend's date backed out, like, the Thursday night before. And so they messaged me, and they were like, hey, so-and-so, like, can't, like, they don't have a date, but they already paid for the tickets. Like, do you want to go? And I was like, two proms.
Could I be a two-prommer?
I'm doing it. And it was super cool. So, like, I went and tried on, like, dad's tux, and it fit. And it was like, I was like, this is so awesome. Like,
wow.
I'm wearing, like, dad's tux. Like, I'm going to look so awesome.
Does dad's tux have a cummerbund? Is that correct?
It does. I don't think I wore it.
Mm.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Missed opportunity.
Are cummerbunds cool? I've never felt like I would go for a cummerbund personally.
It's all about the way you wear it. You know, if you're owning that cummerbund, it's cool.
Ooh, okay. I'm yeah. also not a vest guy. But when it comes to tuxedos for me, it's just shirt,
it's just
jacket.
It's just about the jacket.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I like the vests.
No, see, I don't like vests, especially colored vests. Like, I think this is something that almost the only circumstances where colored vests seem to really come into play, other than maybe like white, black, or like a charcoal gray, maybe a navy.
Mm-hmm.
But very frequently, it's almost like a portion of the tuxedo getup that I think is almost exclusively reserved for prom. Because typically what happens is you find out your date is wearing, like, you know, a pink dress, and then you wear a pink vest. To match the dress. But I almost feel like in this strange way, like, even though you are attempting to be formal, it's almost like a formal addition to a formal outfit that fits almost only the scenario that is going to a high school prom.
Like, you wouldn't own a colored vest.
Well, you would never own a colored vest because it would be so hard for the circumstances to ever allow for wearing one unless you literally had, like, a closet full of colored vests.
Yeah.
Which, unless you
Maybe
host,
you
like,
do.
A game show. in which case, colored vest on, my friend.
Yeah, do it. Do it to it.
Right. Yeah, no, it's strange. Like, it's almost like a colored vest. The only circumstance for it is high school prom.
Interesting.
Yeah. I forgot where I was going with this.
I suppose, like, some wedding, like, groomsmen probably have colored vests sometimes.
Sometimes they do, but yeah. This was one of those decisions that, like, going into wedding planning that I was pretty adamantly, like, in camp, nope, we would either wear black vests or no vests at all. Mm. We opted for no vests at all.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was there.
I know. Yeah.
I remember.
But these guys weren't, you know.
Right.
The colonels.
Little
colonels out there.
Out there.
So I remember, though. So I'm wearing dad's tuxedo, and I'm going to this prom, and so, like, I go to take pictures with the girl, and I'm like, you know, I mean, this is, like, someone who I know, but, like, it definitely wasn't, like, a romantic thing. It was just, like, yay, prom.
Yeah.
So we get out there, and her dad is, like, one of these guys who is, like, from the South, you know?
Oh,
like, he was, like, you know, he came up, and, I mean, very good-natured, but, like, gave me the, like, you're gonna take care of her, right? Like, you know, handshake,
yeah.
Like, the whole thing. So we go outside, we're going to take pictures, and the dad comes over to me, and he goes to whisper in my ear, and I'm like, what? And he goes to, like, whisper again, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I still didn't hear you. And finally, like, everyone's, like, crowded around, he's like, your fly's down. And I'm like,
no!
Crud buckets.
Wow, maybe you should have whispered.
I know, right? It's like, you couldn't have been a little more subtle about that, and, you know, like, truly, I think he was trying to be,
yeah.
Like, you know, like, I think he was embarrassed for me.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, he's also, like, Johnny McTough guy at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but, like, so he had no tact in attempting to deliver this information to me, which also is one of those things that I don't know if there is a good way to do it, because, like, somehow, some way, it's like, well, no good way around this. I also feel the same way about having something in your nose.
Oh.
This, like, I'm one of those people that, like, if I notice that someone has something in their nose, I, like, am a terrible person for this, but I don't say anything at all.
It is such a line where you're like, do I tell them? Is telling them an embarrassing thing? Because it's like, does it make you sound, like, superficial or petty? Like, just so you know, I noticed you had something in your nose, and,
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Well,
is it nice to just tell them, because they don't want to have this thing hanging out of their nose?
Well, this is the problem, though.
Big leaf in their teeth or something.
Right. Yeah. But most frequently, whenever something like that happens, you know what the problem is with having something in your teeth or in your nose?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're right next to your eyeballs, and therefore, unless you have a mirror, there's no way to know whether or not you've solved the problem.
Right.
And so I remember we had, like, a talent manager for YouTube at one point in time, and we were at, like, one of the YouTube conventions, and we're walking around, and, you know, he's like, you got something in your nose. And I was like, oh, thanks. You know, like, I took my hand, I sort of did, like, the sniffle.
Yeah.
And he's like, you didn't get it. And I'm like, you know, like, I did it again.
Yeah.
No sniffle.
No good.
Still nothing. You know, and it's like the guy, he's like, I have no idea. Like, I'm so embarrassed, because I'm like, well, what do you expect me to do? Like, I don't know what to do here.
Yeah.
I don't know how to solve this problem. You know, I wasn't well equipped with tissues or anything
right.
like that. A Kleenex.
I need to go to the bathroom, please.
Right. Yes. I guess I'll be right back.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. That is a question for you colonels out there, is, what do you do if somebody has something in their teeth or nose, in order to not make them feel bad about it, but also, like, you're kind of covering for them at the same time?
Or do you have a story just about letting yourself feel confident for even 1 second, only to immediately trip down the stairs or
right.
what have you.
What have you.
Because, Ben, let me tell you, I have a story like this.
Okay, lay it on me.
Sort of. In your story, you forgot to zip your fly. But
yeah.
Let me just say, at least you remembered your pants.
Oh, no.
So, this was, and if you've watched the vlog on YouTube, aside from the Super Carlin Brothers channel, maybe you've heard the story before, but Beth and I, once upon a time, are driving up to New Jersey to go to one of her college friends' weddings, and depending on how traffic goes and stuff, this could be a 7-hour drive, it could be an 8.5-hour drive, you know, depending on how you stop. We get there in just the best time possible.
Right.
We arrive at the church, we're like the first people at the wedding, we're feeling great, we're like, yeah, awesome. Now we don't have to change in the parking lot or anything. We go and talk to the people at the church. We go in and they're like, oh yeah, here's some restrooms you can use to go change. And I get in there and I've got my bag and I put on my jacket and I button up my shirt. And all of a sudden I realize that I've forgotten my pants.
No pants.
No pants at this wedding. And the only other pants I have are jeans. And this is like a nice wedding. It's like a big Catholic wedding, you know, we're like essentially attending a service, you know.
So it wasn't a jeans wedding.
It wasn't a jeans wedding. No, I wasn't going to get away with that.
Are there jeans weddings?
There might be, certainly.
Okay.
There's probably like bathing suit weddings for all I know.
Oh,
bathing suit. There might be naked weddings. Who knows?
Well, I'm sure that's a thing. For some reason, that feels less shocking.
Than jeans weddings?
Than jeans weddings. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, definitely not wearing jeans. Now, fortunately, we have arrived early enough. Had we gotten there like right on time, would have been bad news. Would have had to almost miss the ceremony.
You would have missed the ceremony instead of wearing jeans to the ceremony.
Well, I don't know, but I was in a situation where there was a potential to get pants before the wedding.
Goodness
Maybe
me.
If there was no option, I would have been better off because I just wouldn't have done anything.
Uh-huh.
But there was time. So they tell us about this mall, and I'm just like, I drive as fast as I can in the mall, and I pick up like the first pair of pants at the JCPenney's or whatever. I throw them on. I'm like, yep, they fit. Pay for them. Book it back. Ready to go. I walk in and I have like just missed it by about... No, I haven't missed it. I've missed it. I've missed the start of the wedding. I get in there and the groomsmen are already like standing at the end of the aisle.
Okay.
Right. So I have to wait. I see the bride there.
Oh no, you see the bride before everyone else?
I see the bride before everyone else, which I'm like, ah, crap.
That feels like bad luck.
It feels like bad luck. I'm like, I wasn't supposed to see you. And like, of course she sees me too. And I'm like, she's like, hey, which, you know, she doesn't like mind or anything.
Right.
I'm just like, I'll just wait for her to go walk down. I don't want to be like the, you know, I'm at that zone where no one else is allowed to go through the doors before her.
Right.
So I got to like wait it out. And eventually I walk in.
Can you
in.
Imagine though, like, yeah. like the organs playing, like you like sneak in.
Yeah.
And your fly's down.
Yeah. My fly was not down. But oh my goodness. So I've only been gone for like 30 minutes or something. But in the meantime, here's what's happened is I sit down and Beth is of course sitting with her other friends and whatever. And they're like, see, you got some pants. And I'm just like, oh. And so everyone's just been asking Beth, where's Jonathan? And so the news that Jonathan forgot his pants has spread like wildfire.
Oh no.
For the wedding. I'm like, this is so embarrassing. It was like, oh man, I was just hating it at the moment. And then this was the worst part. Okay. I couldn't, but like, at first I thought, okay, these people know. But the wedding ends and everyone stands up and clapping and, you know, the bride and groom are walking down and the groom, Steve, and he's passing me and he goes, see, you found your pants. And I was like, how did the news travel all the way to the groom?
The groom.
The groom knows.
Are you close with the groom?
Not in particular.
And so, oh my gosh.
So Beth's friend is the bride.
Right.
So I've met the groom at like a tailgate.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys go way back.
Yeah, we go way back. Now I would say at the very least, because, you know, they have the same group of friends, so the same people end up at a lot of weddings.
Uh-huh.
So me and Steve, you know, we're buds.
We're buds. Okay.
We're buds.
Okay.
You know, we know each other. We both have sons named Nicholas now. So,
wow.
You know, really
tight. Wow. That's a tight club.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, but I could not believe that somehow in the space of like 20 minutes, the rate at which this news had traveled through this wedding.
Wow.
And Jonathan had forgotten his pants.
It's like, it's really like the theme of that wedding now.
Basically, when people talk about it, I'm pretty sure that's all they think about.
They just changed their wedding hashtag to Jay forgot his pants.
Jay forgot his pants. Terrible.
Oh, man.
Terrible.
I'm so sorry to hear that. That does sound like a devastating experience. And I will say I'm going to make everybody in the world self-conscious for the rest of forever.
Yeah.
But at our wedding, one of Alice's cousins, there was this one thing that I noticed. And I have no idea. He's a super outdoorsy guy and he's like an ultra marathoner and stuff like that. But I noticed that he was wearing like black sneakers.
Mm.
And we had like a black tie wedding.
Yeah.
And this was one of those things where I was like, part of me could almost see a situation where he got here, realized he forgot his tuxedo shoes, and like just went out and bought like a pair of like what is the quickest pair of black shoes that I can buy?
Right.
But it was like he was wearing like a nice suit and like black sneakers. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm sure it's one of those things where he's like, no one's paying attention to me. No one's gonna notice.
Yeah.
I did notice.
Did you say something?
No, of course not. No. I mean, because I wasn't upset or anything like that. I was just like, it was such a change, mm-hmm. like, you know, going from like the upper half of him to the bottom half of him where it was like, sneakers.
So he wore them straight through the wedding.
Straight through the wedding.
Oh, well, I never noticed at the wedding anyone wearing sneakers.
Well, I did.
You did.
I did. Not in a bad way. I wasn't upset about it.
Ruined your whole night.
Didn't ruin my whole night. Wow. No, it was fine.
The wedding's
it was fine.
Over.
No, it was fine.
Call it off.
You're totally good. If you're listening right now, you know who you are. It's fine.
You know how Ben feels.
You know, I feel like saying you know who you are.
Yeah.
Like, I've never said that in a less menacing way, truly. Like, you know who you are.
You
usually
know who
means
you are.
That's intense.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Okay. Well, I feel like we've probably reached a stopping point for today's episode of The Pop.
Told enough embarrassing stories about being pantsless and stuff.
Yeah, enough of those. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, injured ourselves on enough rock climbs.
I feel like really what the Pop has devolved into is...
Not devolved, evolved, Ben.
I feel like it's maybe one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can choose.
Yeah.
Let us know. Send me an email at popcornculturepod@gmail.com. But it is either evolved or devolved into us telling embarrassing childhood, adolescent stories.
Evolved into that.
What we really need is the word from the people.
Yeah.
Otherwise, so if we get lots of messages where it's devolved, maybe we'll do less of that and we'll tell more stories of our future.
you tell stories of your future.
You just try real hard. You set expectations that you must hit.
Remember that time when the twins with the soccer ball and those orange slices?
That was so crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Now it has to happen.
They were picking them out of their pants for weeks.
How does that story possibly go?
I know. We don't know.
We don't know.
These are future stories.
They're future stories. Yeah, also, that's another thing you could send us. It's a good quality future story. What's going to happen to you 1 year from today? Mm. Today being not the day that you're listening to this, but rather March 9th. Be sure to set in your phone a calendar. You can just like be like, hey, Siri, and then say, on March 9th, I need to have a story.
Yeah.
But you need to predict it now.
Right.
On today's March 9th.
Yeah.
For next year's March 9th.
So they'll have a bit of a head start. They'll have like a 4-day head start on this 1 year.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So to know what's going to happen.
For sure.
They're 4 days closer to knowing.
4 days closer.
How far off could they be?
We need a lot. What do you... Okay. Before we actually leave for sure. Now I'm going to put you on the spot. Mm. What does March 9th, 2021 look like for you?
Let me see what day of the week it is real quick.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see. Because that will affect things.
Well, if it's like a weekend. Yeah.
A weekend, because if it's a Tuesday, it means we're probably uploading a video to the Super Carlin Brothers channel.
March 9th, 2021 is a Tuesday, so we'll probably be uploading a video to the Super Carlin Brothers channel.
Are you kidding me?
No, it's a Tuesday. Yeah.
What do you think that video will be about?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think they've even announced what it's going to be about yet.
Hmm.
So they've probably released... They just released Onward here, so probably a Pixar video. I'm going to go with Pixar video.
I'm going to go with, is Peter Parker the next Tony Stark?
Wow.
Wow, 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 wow.
Okay, well, we'll see what the video is next March 9th, and everyone needs to make sure they remember this podcast, because we're going to forget, and you can tweet us all about it and be like, you thought it was going to be about this.
Okay, so here's a real question. I have to leave here and go talk to our realtor about selling my house.
Yeah.
Do I live in a different house on March 9th? 2021.
Wow. No.
No.
Nope.
Wow. Prediction. So you think I have a bummer of an afternoon?
No. No. I don't think it's going to be. Nope. There's. You see, it's not no and a bummer or yes and success. It's no and success.
Wow. It doesn't even rhyme.
Doesn't rhyme.
But yes
neither
and
did
success
no and bummer. Neither did no and bummer.
But yes and success did.
Yeah. Maybe that's why it is a bummer, because it doesn't rhyme.
Okay. So that's the other homework for all of you kernels out there, is be sure to let us know how your life will have changed by March 9th, 2021.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a big one for the old Pop, I have a feeling.
Future planning.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Until next time.
Pop, pop.